Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
FM News Talk 97.1 Podcast. FM News Talk 97.1.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
I'm terribly concerned that when you talk about the New York Times these days, when you talk about the Washington Post these days, we're not talking about the New York Times of 50 years ago. We are not talking about the Washington Post of 50 years ago. We're talking about organizations that I believe have in fact decided as organizations that Donald J. Trump is bad for the United States.
Ted Koppel coming out and suggesting that journalism isn't so journalistic anymore. Kind of crazy to hear him say that. You want to talk about, we were discussing before we went to the break about the things the Democrats want to do in order to change the landscape of how we do things, how we have elections in our country, and all of these different ways they want to reshape government. It's funny how in 2019, the Democrats have finally figured out a way to fix the Constitution. We've been waiting for so long. But they've got the answer, of course. They want to, you know, expand at one Supreme Court solution, as if there was ever a problem until Donald Trump got elected and not Hillary Clinton, because Donald Trump's going to get a couple of nominees, maybe more, and not the Democrats. One of the solutions is Republicans appoint five justices, the Democrats appoint five justices, so then you have 10, and then those 10 justices have to agree on the appointment of another five justices. So in essence, you have five on each side of the aisle, and then you have five justices that are agreed upon across the aisle. Why is there an aisle in the Supreme Court? Do we want that? I mean, you want somebody who adheres to the Constitution, and that you know, the idea of having an activist judge, that's not great. We want people to say, you know, much like yesterday, when I think about how Senator Sasse reacted to the national emergency, he didn't really like the national emergency. He didn't really think that the president necessarily should have done that, but he said he's within his powers to do so. That's why he voted in support of it. Because your job as a senator or as a representative is to make and change laws. That's what you do. The job of the Supreme Court is to measure these laws against the constitutionality of them and to make sure that everything that the lawmakers do is within the confines of the Constitution. So I don't know how you can have, you know, an actual Supreme Court justice that's going to be a Republican or a Democrat. It doesn't make sense. Even if they have, and of course they do, because they're humans, political thoughts about policy, and they have every right to, there is a place where that gets checked at the door when they put on their robe and go in and weigh in on the constitutionality of things. Just because you've got somebody, for instance, Brett Kavanaugh, I don't even remember what the bill was. It was regarding abortion. He kind of went against what the pro-lifers would have, quote-unquote, wanted him to do. Well, it's not his job to change the law. It's his job to take the laws that are on the books, and when situations arise, apply the laws and the Constitution to the circumstance and make sure that we are doing it lawfully. If you want it changed, go to Congress. I'm going to get to some phone calls here. Tom, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, Annie, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I'm calling from Illinois, and I just wanted to comment on the voting age at 16. I think that would be a mess. I know that. I think that being over here in Illinois, there's a lot of things that's being influenced from our public school system.
Mm, totally.
And I think by doing that, it would definitely be put it in the hands of the public school, and I think that it would cause political chaos in the home as well. I just don't think that it would be a good idea moving forward with that, because I know I have a disabled child, and he really struggles with reading. And I know he comes home all the time and tells me that his friends at school says that the president's a racist and a liar, and that Hillary should have been the president. So I just wanted to comment on that.
Well, Tom, I appreciate the comment, and it's a very interesting point that he made that I haven't heard anyone make yet, although I haven't really given a whole lot of actual respect to the possibility of the voting age moving to 16. But what he says there, it would create some turmoil in the home. Can you imagine, like, 16-year-olds? Here, this is how I kind of, this is how I've arrived at the fact that 16-year-olds don't need to be voting. They don't understand how the world works yet. You're casting a vote based on ignorance, truly. And does that mean that 16-year-olds are ignorant human beings? No, but they're 16. They haven't lived any life yet that's difficult. Most of them haven't. God willing, they haven't. They are provided for. You want somebody who's living a life of provision because they're minors and because everything that they have, their food, their clothes, their drinks, the majority of that stuff is coming from someone who's providing it for them. They don't know what it means to work for stuff. They might know what it means to work to buy, you know, a Nintendo Switch because their parents are like, you want that? Go get a job and buy it. You want name brand clothes? You want $200 jeans? Yeah, you can go, you know, work scooping ice cream cones and buy yourself some $200 jeans if you want. But I'm not spending my hard-earned money on it because I'm paying the electric bill. But Mom, go get a job, kiddo. I mean, that's the difference. But being able to work and earn money and buy expensive designer jeans, if that's what you want to do, that's an important life lesson. But it's a step in the process of understanding someday you're going to have people that are relying on you to provide for them that are going to have to do things like keep the electricity on instead of buying you some fancy jeans. It's a process of life. And at 16, you haven't learned any of those lessons yet. Let's get to Jordan's phone call. Jordan, thanks for calling the show.
No problem. Thanks for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
Just on the side to that, for what I was going to talk about, 16 definitely isn't the an age that people should be voting for, but it's not like it's a huge, like, downgrade from 18.
True.
Like, when you're 16 versus 18, you really don't know anything anyway. So.
Yeah.
But my original call, I was just going to say, like, I called in about a month ago and talked about, like, maybe there should be just arguments heard about amending the Constitution for the Electoral College. And at that time, like, I really didn't know much about, like, you guys really schooled me on some things about, like, how the larger states would kind
Jordan,
of,
can I interject and tell you thank you for still being here to be able to have that conversation then? And I don't know if you've gone even further in your direction of believing or anything, but I really do honestly appreciate you calling in a month ago and having that conversation and then calling in again on March 20th and still being here.
Oh, for sure. For sure. But it's like, I think what it is like, you have both sides really have to be open to change to this country. That's the only way that I think that we have sustained such dominance on the world stage, and that we will sustain that, or we will get back to that. And when you shut down ideas like from both sides, like a Green New Deal or voting ages or abortion laws and things like that, it's putting those ideas out. It's those freedoms that allow us to put those ideas out. And when people are so quick to shut them down, I really think that it doesn't do a service to our country. It just, like, it's like everyone should think one way.
Well, Jordan, I can tell that you're somebody who likes to think about things, which we could use a lot more people like that. You know, I don't know how you think about them, but the fact that you're dedicating the time to mentally process this stuff is fantastic, and I like that. What is it, you know, you talk about being open to change. President Obama won a campaign suggesting that we needed to have hope that we could change things. And people really latched on to that. Make America great again. Let's set aside the argument about whether it's racist or not. I don't know how you feel about that, but that is another phrase that suggests that we need to change something going forward. What is it, Jordan, that you want to see changed in this country? What's the foundation?
I think that overall, we really just need to be open to hearing things. I wouldn't say we, but because I don't know where you guys lie in this, or if you call yourselves Republicans or Democrats or this or that, but you have this groupthink that's so detrimental to the way that we live. I've just been listening to the station over the past couple of days, and that, like, Senator Blunt steps out and says, you know what, you know, President Trump thinks this, you know, I kind of think this, and people are disinviting him to this, or you have callers calling in saying that they're not going to vote for him over this one thing. And mm-hmm. It's like this groupthink that really just erodes.
I'm with you on that, Jordan.
What America goes for. And it's just, I think that if we were to change things, I think that the total elimination of political parties would be my first. That's like extreme, but I think that would be like at least some type of step in that direction, because you don't have people thinking for themselves. You have in Missouri worrying about problems in Florida because we get so much news, so much national news, that they're worried about issues. And it's true that some things that in other states can eventually affect Missouri, but you have people thinking about what's happening over here instead of what's happening in their backyard. Issues going on in Illinois, but voters in Illinois are thinking about things that are going on in New York or D.C., and you really have to get back to local state governments, local governments, really knowing what's going on in your neck of the woods. I recently...
Nice.
You're invoking a lot of bodily emotion over here from Tony Colombo.
Jordan, I'm going to send you some literature about the Libertarian Party and see,
see what you get.
I recently moved from Chesterfield to the Tower Grove area, and I'm trying to get a little bit more involved in like local St. Louis aldermanic policies and
do you
and
put yourself like in a political, like, do you have one leg in one party or one ideology in another? Like, where do you find yourself?
I mean, I find that I'm more progressive than most things, but as like now I'm 31 years old. I have two kids. I have a mortgage. I have this and that. There are things I have to pay for. So being fiscally responsible, being fiscally conservative, is something that I'm finding is more.
Where should Tony send the libertarian literature?
Hey, Jordan. In all honesty, it sounds like, you know, if you want more ideas and you want to focus on more local stuff, don't you think that we could use more political parties in this country instead of just having to choose between the two?
For sure. Yeah, definitely.
Amen.
Jordan,
I think the last time we talked to you, wasn't the call about the Electoral College? And
exactly.
And where did you, have you changed your mind on that, or are you still in the same spot?
I haven't changed my mind in thinking that it's worth looking at the possibility of changing things. But I do hear the argument where you say a New York, a California, a Washington, a Texas could definitely dominate in terms of a popular vote.
Yeah.
But it's really worth going back and saying, like, when you have a state, when elections hinge on this or that, and it's one state, then we're kind of at the same thing. If an election hinges on the state of Ohio or the number of votes that they get, then I understand the differences between a popular vote and an electoral vote, but you're still going off of a number of votes that a state gets.
Yeah. Jordan, thank you so much for listening and sticking with us. I'm going to put you on hold, and I'd like to get like an email address from you or something, if that's okay with you. Oh, he hung up. Well, maybe he can call back. Jordan, if you call back, just talk to Frank out there and give us an email address that we can reach out to you. I'd like to talk to you a little bit more about something. It's good to talk to him. It's good to know that I do remember fighting with him.
Yeah.
And that got kind of heated. And it's very good that he's still listening and not necessarily changed his mind.
Yeah.
It's not like I expect people to listen to the show and like see the light and come to my senses. That's good. This is how this is supposed to work. I want to be a place where people can listen in, completely disagree, but still be able to see where I'm coming from and why I think the way I think. All right, we got some people hanging on the line. We're going to get to your phone calls as soon as we can. 314-241-9797. This is exciting. A little out of our normal zone here. Coming up next, the lead singer for Foreigner is going to join us. Kelly Hansen is doing something really cool for Shriners Hospitals for Children, and we want to give him an opportunity to talk about that with you and just, you know, see what he's doing to help the kiddos. So coming up, the lead singer from Foreigner, Kelly Hansen, is going to join us. And then Bryce Hill at 210 is going to talk to us about J.B. Pritzker's political projections. And something J.B. Pritzker just said here recently, not going to make you happy, but I can't say I haven't already told you. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Very excited for our next guest here, the lead singer for Foreigner, Kelly Hansen, joining us now. Kelly, it's so great to have you on the show today.
I'm happy to be with you.
So everybody knows and loves this song, I Want to Know What Love Is, but you guys have done something really amazing with this song and are going to be donating the proceeds of it to help Shriners Hospitals for Children. What an awesome thing that you're doing, Kelly. Tell us a little bit about how you came to do this and help these kids.
Well, you know, we've been working with the Shriners for about 10 years now, raising money, and they work with us at our shows, and they've been a great organization. I've been to the hospital in St. Louis, and so I think it was maybe our manager who came up with the idea to use I Want to Know What Love Is to raise money for the Shriners. So what that means is that Mick Jones, who wrote the song, leader and founder of Foreigner, decided to donate the proceeds, which is a really rare thing, especially for a number one hit like this. And so, and we had a Shriners Kids Choir come and sing backgrounds on a re-recorded version of the song.
And it's amazing.
You can go to showthemlove.org, and you can donate or download or both. And all those proceeds are going to help kids who have to go to this hospital so their parents don't have to pay and they can get the medical care they need.
I have to say how crazy it is right now. In the studio, we've got Fox News on, we have CNN on, and since I've been talking to you, the Shriners hospital commercial has been on here telling people to go to loveshriners.org and donate to these kids. I mean, it is such a great campaign that is out there.
And some of the kids in the commercial
are in the video.
Are in the video.
And it's amazing. The one kid is, well, they're all adorable, but the one just gets my heart every time. This new release became available to download on Google Play and iTunes earlier this year. And already you have received more than 26 million video views, 405,000 shares through social media, and more than $80,000 in donations. I just think it's great that you guys were able to take something this popular and use it for such good.
I had such a good time. For 2 days we were filming in Tampa, creating a long-form video for the song and also, you know, social media spots and so on. So for 2 days, I got to work with these great kids, and just the energy and the enthusiasm and the positivity that they have is really does lift you. And I feel like that we're getting the benefit out of working with these kids as opposed to vice versa, really.
Hey, Kelly, this is Tony Colombo. I did want to talk to you a little bit more about the making of that video. I've seen it multiple times. It really is an emotional video. It's a cool thing to watch. It's kind of a throwback to when music videos did tell, you know, a big story behind the song. Can you talk about and you also mentioned Mick and how it was? I saw an interview where you were talking about how important this song is to Mick. And how he wouldn't just give it away to anything that wasn't what he thought a wonderful cause. So talk about the process of you guys letting, you know, this song be used for, you know, for this cause, and a little bit more about that music video that I would suggest everybody go out and check out.
You know, the thing is that Foreigner songs have been in the ethos and in the atmosphere and in our collective consciousness for now for 40 years, and these songs are requested to be licensed and synced to all sorts of things, movies and commercials and so on. And but this song in particular is a very, very special song, and Mick said that he didn't want to let this be used for anything that wasn't very special. So I think that says a lot about getting them to be able to have the use of this song. And then for the process of the video, we wanted to come up with a concept that would somehow be relatable and kind of shed some light on the fact that most of us through our everyday lives just have little things that we worry about and the things that annoy us. But when you see these kids and the things that they have to go through and how they deal with it with enthusiasm and joy and they continue to move forward in their lives, it kind of gives you a perspective on what's really important. So that's kind of what the whole video thing was about, or the story that was being told in the video. So when I read the script for it, I was definitely on board, and it was funny because we were in Tampa and it was up probably 100 degrees out in Tampa, and we were filming outside, and these kids had to play basketball and do all this stuff, and they were just joyous about it, and they were really great, and it was an honor for me to be able to do it.
So there's a lot of great charities out there that are doing great things. Why did you guys choose the Shriners? I know it's been an organization you guys have been working with for a long time. What about Shriners was the deciding point to make that the charity that you guys did a lot of your work with?
Having to do with some relationships that we had developed with different organizations, because sometimes you'll partner up with people to do different things along the course of a particular tour, or, you know, et cetera. And the Shriners, when we started working with them, we just found this really kind of this symbiotic feel with them, and then to see all the great work that they do, and it's really kind of, in many ways, it's kind of invisible. All the energy that they put in to raise money so that these families don't have to pay for their care for their children is something that not a lot of people are really aware of. And we've had such a great working relationship with them for, like I said, 10 years, that it was a no-brainer, really, to go with them.
Kelly, I just want to also, just kind of compliment you. I've seen you with the band. You've been with them for years now, but not the, you know, original singer, not the, you know, Lou Gramm was the original singer on that song. This was the first time I'd ever seen a fully produced music video with you at the front and singing that song. And
it's so good.
It seems it either you are pretending like that song means a lot to you and you're putting your heart behind it, or you really are, because it's an incredible video, and you sound incredible, and people should just download it for that purpose, and to hear the kids choir at the end. Just talk a little bit about your time in Foreigner and the opportunity to participate in these type of projects with the band.
Again, I want to say people should go to showthemlove.org, which is specifically where people can go and they can download and or donate for this cause. And for me, I've had nearly 15 years of interpreting this song and feeling this song seeing audience reactions to this song and people who talk to us about how meaningful the song was in their life. We hear lots of stories about proposals and birthdays and anniversaries and sad events in people's lives that are connected to the catalog of Foreigner. And so you can't help but have a connection to these things when you sing them. And that's what I do as a singer, or if I was an actor or whatever. You have to find a way to connect to yourself in what you're doing, and hopefully that comes across when I'm doing that.
Well, it's beautiful. It really is, and you did a great job, and it's a great thing to listen to and watch. So
Kelly Hansen, lead singer for Foreigner, like you said, showthemlove.org is the place to go and participate in this really awesome charitable act. Foreigner is donating all CD and download sales proceeds to Shriners Hospitals for Children. We have a Shriners here in St. Louis, and they do wonderful, wonderful work. And Kelly, we're just so grateful for the time today and for the act of kindness that you're doing for these kids. It really needs to be talked about as much as possible.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And thank you guys for giving us the time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Kelly. Great to speak with you.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Showthemlove.org is the website, and I'm looking at it right now, and there's the video.
Oh, the video's awesome.
It is. And these kids are singing there behind them, and they're adorable. And the one kid
Kelly's voice is crazy good.
You He's said that we were watching it with Mark Cox in this office area before we came into the show, and he's like, his voice is amazing. It's really notable. That one kid who's like the spokesperson for Shriners Hospital.
Yeah. I think his name is Alex.
I want to hang out with
him.
I want to spend
little kid in the
time,
wheelchair.
Yes. Yeah. And dark hair and just the brightest smile that every time I see it, I'm like, yep, that's right, kid. We're going to have a good day now because I got to see that smile. So showthemlove.org. Go visit the website right now. When we come back, I'm going to get to some more of your phone calls. Some of you have been holding for a little bit here. 314-241-9797. We got a couple lines open. 314-241-9797. The president is going to be speaking in Ohio. I don't know when. I don't know what he's going to say. But if he says something that you need to hear, we're going to have it for you. So stay tuned. A lot more Annie Fry Show coming at you.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. I just read somewhere that when you ask college students who the face of the Democratic Party is, they say AOC. Oh, I just did it. Crap. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and not Nancy Pelosi. She's the future, folks. Of the Democratic Party and equally of socialism.
Yes.
So having Kelly Hansen from Foreigner on the show is really cool. And I know that many of you are big Foreigner fans. I was a little nervous for that. I am not like a groupie, but Tony was helping me out with that interview for sure. And it's really nice to be able to have that conversation. That could have been hard to do, but he sounds like a really nice, normal guy.
Genuine human being. And did something so great. That band did something so great.
And when you go to showthemlove.org and get to see the video and get to see these kids, it's like, yeah, you can't turn that down. It's adorable and it's wonderful and it's a great way to help. So huge thanks to the lead singer from Foreigner, Kelly Hansen, for coming on the show with us. Go to showthemlove.org. Donate as much as you can to help these kids. Speaking of helping kids, is that blog post up yet?
Mm-hmm.
Is it on Facebook yet?
Yeah, it is.
Facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. You will see the link to our article that is available at 971talk.com/Annie. It tells you what's in HB 2495. It tells you who's sponsoring HB 2495. It gives you the contact number of all of the Democrats in our area who are likely to sponsor this bill. The Republicans are not. You can look up if your representative is not listed there and they're Republican before everyone's like, why'd you just list the Democrats? Because the Democrats are going to be the ones who pass this through, not the Republicans. You might maybe find some Republicans in the collar counties around Cook County who would potentially support this, but that's not how this is going to go. Please, please, please go on the Facebook page. If you haven't liked us there yet, like the Facebook page, but we need you to read this. We need you to contact your representatives. We need you to share it. And if you're in the state of Missouri, I need you to share it too, because chances are you know some people in the state of Illinois who don't understand what is taking place in Illinois. J.B. Pritzker wants to make it the most progressive state for abortion rights in the country, and this is going to do it. When we got all outraged about New York and we couldn't believe what Governor Northam in Virginia was talking about, this is worse. And we have to stand up. So I'm begging my Missouri friends to help share this and the Illinois people to speak up and talk to your representatives. It has to happen. And then also Kelly Hansen, showthemlove.org. Do it.
Can I
no.
tell a little bit about a little behind the scenes?
You can do whatever you want.
A little inside baseball yeah. for people listening.
This is going to make me look stupid?
No, not at all.
Not that inside baseball.
During the interview with Kelly Hansen, which was a fun but serious interview, talking about Shriners Hospital and an important cause.
Have you done research?
And raising money. I have.
Yes.
Raising money for Shriners, and you know, the little emotional about how, you know, the video came about and all that. In the middle of that interview, a headline comes across Fox News on the television right in front of my face that says,
"The Cliffs of Insanity."
That says,
literally, this is what it says:
Beto O'Rourke ate dirt with regenerative power. I can't even say the word. He ate super dirt. He ate dirt with superpowers. And it's a freaking headline.
This is real news.
And I see it. And I try to ignore it. And then Annie is pointing at it and like laughing. And then I think to myself, as I'm trying to think of another question for Kelly, I'm thinking about Beto eating super dirt, and I'm like, and I had to bend down.
Oh, he had to remove
so
himself.
So nobody
from
could
his
hear
microphone.
Me laugh. I'm like thinking, now I've got all these things going, all these thoughts going through my head of Beto eating super dirt and becoming like a superhero because he ate.
Isn't this what LSD
he
does
ate
to you?
Dirt
never done
with special powers. And
what's the research?
And you would think, as I did when I read the headline, that it was maybe like a college thing or some, you know, because stories have come out recently about some things he did when he was in college and how he was in a band and, you know, he belonged to that hacker group, the Society of the Dead Cow or whatever.
These aren't even words that should all be in the same sentence. Like, I have to be like, I have to think to myself, this is real.
This is all real.
He's running for presidency.
He ate the dirt just this year. After losing to Ted Cruz.
What? Where?
Jar
where do you
of
get
dirt.
This, where do you get regenerative
Mexico.
Dirt?
Mexico.
Oh. Where's the
Here's
jar
the story.
Of dirt?
Beto O'Rourke didn't eat crow, humble pie, or even his words after losing to Ted Cruz. He ate dirt instead. O'Rourke, who came up short in his bid to unseat Senator Cruz in Texas despite raising $80 million for his Senate push, told the story of his earthy snack. Ugh. In a sprawling 3,000-word profile published by the Washington Post. In January, Beto hit the road, much as his father had done before him, and drew energy from the people he met. And on one stop in New Mexico, he didn't write about in his blog by eating New Mexican dirt said to have regenerative powers. I can't even say that word. He brought some home for his family to eat, too. So there's special dirt in New Mexico that will make you younger.
But did you die?
Fox News. It says, like, report. Beto eats dirt with, in quotes, regenerative
in quotes,
powers.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's no proof.
And I'm like, how is this even...
Regenerative.
A story. And how do people... Yeah. See, sometimes when you break the word down and say it slowly, it's easier to say.
I know.
Beto O'Rourke.
Yeah, he's good.
I didn't say it differently.
Regenerative. I got it.
Our YouTube chat at FM News Talk 97.1's YouTube channel is very funny today. I'm enjoying it. I want to take a quick phone call or two here. We were talking about the Supreme Court earlier and the influence that these Democratic candidates want to basically change the entire structure of the United States and how we are comprised. David, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, dirt.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. If we're on speakerphone, it's kind of hard to hear you.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm
okay.
I wanted to bring up... The Constitution, I don't think, was based on a two-party system, and it doesn't really have anything in the Constitution about that. I'm wondering why anyone would want to impose a Democratic and Republican system onto the Supreme Court? And what about independents?
David, from what I can gather, you're suggesting that talking about the political influence on the Supreme Court. It was really hard to hear you. Sorry, bud.
We couldn't hear that.
I will say that this proposition to put five Republican justices on the court, five Democrat justices on the court, and then have those pick five more, it doesn't really take into consideration that not every American considers himself to be Republican or Democrat, Tony Colombo.
Right. Well said.
So I don't, maybe that's the point he was making. I think it's a good one. Because I also just made it. Charles, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just want two quick things. I agree with you on the Electoral College. Those small states would become irrelevant if it went without. Although I think, you know, majority rules is as American as anything.
Wrong. That's absolutely constitutionally wrong. Majority rules is
no. I said I agree with you.
You can't say majority rule is not as American as anything. There's actually like a copious amount of things in the way our government is structured to make sure that the majority doesn't rule.
Okay. The second thing is, did I hear right? Did you said when they put those robes on, they become neutral or something?
I said when a Supreme Court justice goes into a courtroom, that no matter what their political affiliation, religious affiliation, race, creed, color, gender, none of that matters. What matters is the Constitution. That's their responsibility.
No, I disagree with you there, because why do you want ultra right wing judges? And I might
who
want
said
a
I did
liberal judge.
Who said I did? I don't. I don't say that. I want people who.
Well, you wanted Kavanaugh over Garland. Garland was Garland. Was,
I never gave an opinion on Garland because he never got a vote. Didn't have to.
I think I heard. Well, it was obvious some of the things you said.
When during Merrick Garland,
when that came up,
I wasn't even on weekdays. How do you know what I thought?
I heard you on the radio, and he got confirmed 99-0. He was a conservative moderate Republican.
Who?
And you. Merrick Garland.
He didn't get a vote.
I know he didn't get a vote. I said he wasn't good enough for the ultra right, and so they had to get a guy like Kavanaugh and the other one.
What about Judge Kavanaugh's ultra right to you?
Well, I know how he's going to vote. He's not going to vote for the little guy. He's going to vote for business. They're corporational judges. So is the one right before
Charles,
him.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Look at his cases. Look at some of his cases.
Charles, let's do it your way. Name some of the cases that make you feel that way.
I can't think of the guy's name. Before Kavanaugh, a guy who was
No,
driving.
Let's talk about Kavanaugh.
Well, I'm going to give you a case that I'm familiar with.
Okay, go ahead.
You asked me. And a guy was driving a truck for a company and got fired because his brakes locked up and it was icy roads. I think it was in Alaska or wherever. I can't even think of his name. But
Charles, we're probably going to need the details decide.
That he got out 8-1. He was a dissent. The company.
Why
fired
did he dissent?
Because he was a single dissent. Because the company fired this guy for not driving a truck.
Why did? What was Kavanaugh's reason for dissenting? Yeah, you don't know, Charles. That's the problem. You can't just automatically.
I think he was talking about Kavanaugh. I think he was talking about Neil Gorsuch.
He never said Gorsuch.
He said the one before Kavanaugh.
Well, I think Charles has an idea in his head about what people. I'll use the term "quote unquote" like me think. You can. I'm going to pull a Tucker Carlson. I'm here every day, 3 hours a day. You can pretty much have a pretty good idea of what I think, and I'm not advocating for. Hyper-conservative activist judges. I want someone who loves, adores, and will protect the Constitution of the United States. And that shouldn't have a party affiliation. When we come back, Bryce Hill with the Illinois Policy Institute is going to talk to us about J.B. Pritzker and his political projections that will result in a guaranteed tax hike for everyone in the state of Illinois. Well, we don't pay enough in taxes yet. Why not more, J.B.? Why not more?
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.